First things first, I'm Jenna Wolf. Brandon's already playing. He's got the itch. He can't put it down. I get it.
Let's go.
Nick Wright's constantly scrolling through stats. He can't get enough. Kevin Wiles is always coming up with metaphors. He can't get enough. We are all playing into who we are. You guys look great today.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. It's nice. Y'all are wearing ties these days.
Mine is one piece.
Jenna's got a dress with a little design in the middle. So I figured I'd just dress you. Forgot my watch this morning. Of course my wife dresses me.
Okay. Well,
of course my wife dresses me. Does my hair, does my makeup, dresses me, feeds me. I just give these takes, Jenna.
And they're hot takes, Nick. They're hot. Let's start this morning with tonight's big game, Cardinals-Seahawks. How big, Jenna? Well, Seahawks have lost 3 of 4. Cardinals have won 3 of 4. Seattle had this division all but locked up, and now you got the Cards, Seahawks, and Rams in a logjam at 6 and 3. Brandon, I'll start with you. Thursday Night Football tonight on Fox. Who you got, Cardinals or Seahawks?
Woo, this is going to be a good one. I have the Seahawks winning. Jenna, they have to win. Sometimes you got to go back to the root to fix the problem. You go back to week 7 when all this mess started. Russell Wilson threw 3 interceptions. And since then, he's still been throwing interceptions. So I am confident that Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll, those guys get it done. Bobby Wagner, that they turn this thing around. They're going back to the root of this thing, and they're going to face it, and they're going to fix it. Russell Wilson is too smart of a player. He's too talented. He's a great leader to stay down this path. They'll fix it. The offensive line needs to be better. Russ needs to be better. The whole Russ, let Russ cook thing, I think it's pretty much over. You heard Pete Carroll this week talking about getting back to the basics and getting back to the run game. So, Nick, look, I'm confident that they'll get it done, but it's going to be hard. This Cardinals team is a contender.
Yep. Well, and the Cardinals team is a contender, and you would think this game would be bigger for the Cardinals because the Seahawks are the established force in that division. The Cardinals are the new team, newish team, trying to establish itself. But this game is actually bigger for Seattle, and it's bigger for Seattle for the same reason that if we go back a couple weeks to the game I kept harping on, the Tampa Bay-New Orleans game was bigger for Tampa. Whoever loses the first matchup between divisional contenders has to win the second matchup if they want a chance of winning the division. If Seattle loses tonight, the Cardinals are up not one game in the standings, but 2 games in the standings because of the tiebreaker. And so I do like Seattle tonight because I think they are going to be the more desperate team. They have lost 3 out of 4. Meanwhile, the Cardinals are playing their best football of the year, having scored 30 in 5 straight games and having won 4 out of 5. And I didn't love how the Cardinals closed last week. Now, you might say, what the hell do you mean? The best play of the NFL season was how they closed last week. But if you watched that game, and if you watched that game with a very acute eye, like those of us with Arizona -2.5, Cliff Kingsbury,
what you saw was a Cardinals team up three
with 9 minutes left, blow a drive, get the ball back, go 3 and out, get the ball back, go 3 and out again, just begging Josh Allen to take control of the game, and he finally did. Now, Kyler and DeAndre saved him, but it wasn't a great closing kick by Arizona. And Wilds, the other side of this is, the whole time Russell Wilson's been there, he's never lost 3 games in a row. He's never lost 4 out of 5 games. So I do think Seattle wins a close, high-scoring, very fun game this evening on Fox.
Okay, I've got a question for everybody. I'll start with you, Brandon. I like to be generally optimistic. I'm an optimistic guy, but I'm also a guy, I got a big dose of realism. So when I see a game end on a Hail Mary, a part of me is like super excited and happy for the league and just happy we're celebrating in the living room. And a part of me is just saying, kind of lucky. And when the Patriots were winning all their games at the end, or like long field goals, I was like, the Pete Carroll thing, Malcolm Butler thing, I was like, kind of lucky.
Yeah.
When, like, you know, when the Lions win a game, they've won two weird games because, you know, Todd Gurley scoring a touchdown.
Every Lions win. Kind of lucky. That's correct. That's correct. Every Lions win. You're like, oh, that was lucky.
Brandon, do you think that there is an emotional high that is going to affect the Cardinals because they were so pumped up? Or do you think they're like, you know what? We escaped that one. We're not. We need to check ourselves. We're not as good as we think we are. We need to check ourselves. Let's get refocused on the Seattle game.
No, this is good for the team. This is good for everyone in the locker room, including the ball boys, the athletic trainers, all the support staff. Everybody's feeling really good right now because, you know, the Buffalo Bills team, Jenna, they're really good. They've been playing some good ball the last couple weeks. Now, before then, I don't know what happened, how things got off the rails. But when you walk back into that locker room after that type of play, the music is loud. Everybody's cheering. That's what you play for. That is the best moment in all of sports, is when you win a game like that and you go back into that locker room and you celebrate with your teammates.
Russ, by the way, 8-1 on Thursday Night Football. So we wanted to give Russ the MVP this year. We came into the season wanting to give it to him, but the MVP chatter has turned to Kyler the last couple of weeks, especially after the aforementioned Hail Mary heroics. Kyler was asked about his MVP bid. Take a listen to this.
Those guys, you know, that they were mentioning, you know, Tom, Aaron, Patrick, you know, they've won Super Bowls. They've won MVPs. You know, I haven't done anything. So, as far as MVP deal, yeah, I'm not even really worried about that. I was as far as my personal confidence. Do I believe that I'm one of the best in the league? Yeah, of course. I mean, I think anybody should be confident in themselves. So, that's what I meant by that. As far as the MVP deal, I don't really, you know, I just try to go out and, you know, lead my team to a win. I said it. You know, the individual goals come as if you win. So.
You noticed the three names he mentioned? Tom, Aaron, Patrick. Was there a name he left out there? Nick, which quarterback is more in need of a big performance tonight for their MVP campaign? Is it going to be Kyler or is it going to be Russ? Who needs it more?
I think they are actually dead even as far as need and as far as MVP standings. And I look at this as a game not where either one of them can win the MVP, but one of them can lose it. And they've arrived to this point in week 11 via very different paths. Russell Wilson was the rabbit in the race. Russell Wilson got out to a massive lead, and over the last month, a handful of folks have caught him and a couple have even passed him. Kyler, on the other hand, if we would have asked MVP rankings after week 4, when the Cardinals were 2-2 and Kyler's numbers were not overwhelming, he wouldn't have been one of the first 30 names listed. Kyler now, he's gotten in the race kind of more like the tortoise. He's slow but sure, and all of a sudden it's like, wait, could he win it? And so this, to me, Brandon's an elimination game for the losing quarterback because Mahomes, national television against a bad defense, chance put up a monster game. Aaron Rodgers, Fox game of the week, chance to put up a monster game. Tom Brady, Monday Night Football, national television, opportunity to play a really good game. So all our MVP candidates are going to be on the major stage. If the loser of this game, to me, because they likely won't win their division either, eliminates themselves from the race. But right now, these two guys are dead even.
Nick, listening to you write that out right there, man, got me so excited about this game. Could this be the most exciting game this year? You got so much on the line. First of all, before we even get to the MVP discussion, like, this is the division, like you said. Like, you have to win this game if you want to lead this division and have a chance at going to the Super Bowl. This is a must-win game. Now, MVP. Look, it's both of these guys need to get it done tonight. When you look at Kyler, he's having a Lamar Jackson type of season. Lamar Jackson won it last year. He won it with style. He won it with grace. And when you look at Kyler Murray, it's the same thing. This dude is getting it done on the ground. He's getting it done through the air. It's exciting. It's good football to watch. And then Russell Wilson. There's some guys, when you Google search, you want to see a few things by their name. When I see Russell Wilson, I see Super Bowl champ. I see Walter Payton, man of the year. I see all pro, pro bowler. And I also think when you see Russell Wilson, you want to see MVP. It just goes with his name. So for Russell Wilson, he's not out of it. He gave it to Patrick Mahomes. He was leading all the way up until last week. And now if he wants to get back into that conversation, he has to go out there, protect the football first, and then play lights out.
All right, well, we're inching our way closer to the Super Bowl. You got Knicks, Chiefs, and Brandon Steelers as the favorites right now. But which of those two do you trust more? We got trust issues on First Things First. We'll discuss next. Stay with us.
I thought we were just talking football, though.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Moving on to the only undefeated team in the NFL, the Steelers, sitting pretty at 9-0. Ben Roethlisberger was asked about the importance of going undefeated the rest of the way. He said the right thing. He said this. The goal is not to go undefeated. The goal is to win a Super Bowl. Brandon, any chance at all you think it would be a good thing for the Steelers to lose at least once, one game, one time before the playoffs? And if so, why?
Jenna, we're getting to the part of the season where I feel like anytime we talk about the Steelers, you need to say Brandon Marshall Steelers, because I'm the one that sat here before the season and picked them to win the Super Bowl. And everybody laughed at me. Nick laughed at me. Wiles laughed at me. Talked about Ben Roethlisberger's noodle arm. So I feel like we need to change the narrative just a little bit. Just add Brandon Marshall Steelers to this. Look, I'm not picking Big Ben. This is great leadership by Big Ben. He knows that a loss could be coming. And at the end of the day, what we've seen over time, in time, is that when a team lose after riding away for so long, it could be a big letdown. When you look in that locker room and you see all these young guys, they've never been in this situation before at this level. So Big Ben is getting ahead of it. Now, you know, the Jags have their number. That's what they've been preaching all week. Will this be the week? I don't think so. But it could be coming when you look at their schedule. And Big Ben just doesn't want those young guys to hit a low, an all-time low, because they've been riding so high, Nick.
So I understand that, and it's easy to look past the Jags. The Jags won their first game of the year and have been as bad as the Jets since then. By the way, that first game of the year, they beat old noodle arm Philip Rivers. Now they get to go up against old noodle arm Ben Roethlisberger. It's nice for them. Maybe a little, you know what I mean, dichotomy between the two. But
noodles.
Wilds, this is about the question that essentially you generated this, because you've convinced yourself if only the Patriots had lost in 07, they would have won the Super Bowl. I don't think there is evidence for that. So two teams in NFL history have gone undefeated: the 72 Dolphins, who won the Super Bowl, and the 07 Pats, who lost the Super Bowl. So it's like, oh, maybe it's better to go 15-1. Well, nine teams in the Super Bowl era have finished the regular season with one loss. Three of them, only three, have won the Super Bowl. In fact, four times it's happened since the 85 Bears. Three of those four didn't even make the Super Bowl, and one of them made it, the Panthers, Cam's Panthers, and they lost it. So this idea that 15-1 somehow positions you better for a championship than 16-0, I dismiss that idea. I don't think there's any evidence for it. What the Steelers need to be worried about, Wilds, is getting that one seed, and 16-0 is the only way it's guaranteed for them. So I don't think a loss in any way, shape, or form would be good for them.
Yeah, it's any port in the storm for that Patriots season for me. I'm just looking for a reason, not just that, you know, the helmet catch. It just still bothers me. All right, so the question for you is this, Nick, since it would probably be about your Chiefs. What if the bye is locked up? What if the Chiefs lose another game? The bye is locked up. The Steelers have the Browns, so that's a whole nother thing. Maybe the Browns are fighting for the playoff spot. Then do you rest? Does Tomlin sit back and say, you know what? It's smarter for us to rest. We have nothing to play for.
No. So I don't like teams personally. And Brandon, I know you hadn't been in this position as a player where, you know, you locked up the one seed, but you can still give us the player's perspective on it. I don't like teams resting in week 17 if they have the bye on the horizon, because I think that's too much time off. I think in what the ideal situation for the Steelers, honestly, would be this, that going into week 16, the Chiefs have a couple more losses. They've locked up the one seed, and you can rest guys in week 16 and then play them in week 17 before your bye. But that's very rare to have it locked up that much in advance. But Brandon, for a team that's rolling, I wouldn't think you would want to have consecutive weeks off if you're 14-1 or 15-0 and potentially break all that momentum going into the biggest spot of the season for you, Brandon.
Yeah, I agree. If I'm the head coach, I'll probably approach it like it's preseason, the first preseason game or the second preseason game. A lot of people out there may not know, but that first preseason game, well, yeah, of course you guys know this. You guys are avid football fans. But that first preseason game, you're seeing your starters maybe take a drive or two. That second one, you want to see those starters play a half. So that's how I would approach it. Yeah, Nick, I'm with you. Taking off 2 weeks is way too long, but there are some savvy veterans that would want that, and they will be in that room asking the coach, hey, let us take off. I need this time. I need to rest. I need to heal. There's a lot of guys right now at this part of the season that's literally using tape to hold on their arms, their legs, and just trying to get out there to get through practice and get through another week.
Warriors. All right, guys, you know how sometimes we wish teams would be more honest with the media? Well, sometimes less is more, Bruce Arians. What did the Bucks coach say that he probably wishes he could take back? We'll tell you next. First things first. A little drawing to blank, fellas. Stick with that game. Travis Kelce responded to the Raiders' victory lap, the aforementioned victory lap, with this quote ahead of Sunday's rematch. A lot of people care about this game like it's their Super Bowl. If only I knew which people is referring to. Very cryptic. Brandon, Travis Kelce's comments on the Chiefs-Raiders game are blank.
It sounds a lot like Nick Wright. Salty. Like, this is not what you want to hear from Nick Wright and Travis Kelce. Like, KC fans, you guys are in trouble. You know you're going to get everyone's best. You are the champs. So why are you salty about this? You guys stood up and said, we're going to win multiple Super Bowls. So act like it. This is salty by Nick Wright and Travis Kelce.
It's not salty. In fact, it's sodium-free. It's super healthy. It's none of those things. It is what it is, though, is brutal honesty about the Raiders. Because this is their Super Bowl. I know I alluded to it in the clip, but I just want people to understand. Since the Raiders played in that Super Bowl in the 02 season, the one where they forgot to change their plays and they got embarrassed, they have had one winning season. They have had one playoff appearance. And in that playoff game, they started Connor Cook at their quarterback. They have been a low-key disaster of a franchise, no matter what city they've played in, for nearly 20 years now. So, yeah, this is their Super Bowl. If they could go 2-0 against the Chiefs, they will fly a banner in that brand-new stadium in Vegas. Now, they won't go 2-0 against the Chiefs, and they're going to get embarrassed on Sunday Night Football. But, yeah, okay. This is brutal honesty from Travis Kelce about the Raiders. The Raiders.
You sound scared.
What do the Raiders honestly think they
are? You sound scared. You sound a little scared. You're just protesting a little bit much. Yeah. My answer was elephant. Here's why. You know when you play that game, it's like, don't think of an elephant, and then you think of an elephant? That's what the Chiefs social media team did. They're like, we're going to let our talking on the field do our talking. We'll let our play do our talking. There it is. Like, well, you're the social media team. You're literally not doing it by tweeting this. You don't play, so you should have just said nothing. But if you let your play do the talking, that's a form of talking trash. So overall, Raiders win.
Oh, no, my God.
They have a tweeting department, too.
Oh, my. Wilds with the rare prediction. The rare Wilds prediction.
On to Philadelphia now.
That's just too scary.
Where Doug Peterson continues to defend his quarterback, Carson Wentz, as a franchise QB. He said this yesterday. He's the guy we wanted back then. He's still the guy we want today. Brandon, Doug Peterson saying he would still trade up for Carson Wentz is blank.
Jenna, it's believable. Look, I played a lot of ball. You don't see a guy play as the MVP all year before he sustains a season-ending knee injury and then play like this. It's believable because it's not all on one guy. You have no wide receivers. You have no O-line. Every single week, another guy is going down. You're taking guys off the street saying, hey, you play center. You're taking a guy that hasn't played ball in 2 years saying, you play tackle. What do you expect this guy to do? Now, Carson Wentz, does he need to get better? Of course he does. Has he made bad decisions? Yes, he has. There's been times early on in the year where his feet was sloppy. But at the end of the day, this kid, with the right people around him, he can play at a high level because he's shown us that. Believable. Oh,
okay, so this is half true. And can we put Brandon on the screen as well? Because I have a question for him. The reason it's half true is because they absolutely, this is the guy they wanted in the draft. I don't know that this is the guy they want right now. But I have two quick questions for you, Brandon. Brandon, in the NFL, what is the best ability?
Oh, availability.
Okay, and in the NFL, Brandon, what is ball security?
Job security. Why are you putting me on the spot right now? Get me off of the screen.
Because we're talking about a quarterback whose two biggest weaknesses are the two most important things in the sport. Are you going to be there? I don't know. I'm hurt a lot. Are you going to take care of the football? Probably not. I love turning it over. So, no, they're not in love with Carson Wentz. They loved him a few years ago coming out of North Dakota State. They loved him in year two until he got hurt. And since then, he's been an injury-prone turnover machine. So, no, it's only half-true statement, Wilds.
Okay, so my answer was conductor. And the reason why I said conductor is because you ever been on a train, the Metro North train, and you try to talk to the conductor about what happened, conductor's not even trying to hear it. Conductor's talking about, well, the next train is at 8:27. I'm not even talking about the old trains. So that's what Doug Peterson does. He needs to move forward and never talk about the past, ever. Don't talk about Nick Foles. Don't talk about the draft. But I have a bonus take here. And Dusty, who is our resident Eagles fan, Dusty, I am going to convince you that this is a horrible, horrible red flag, and you will believe me. Can we play the sound, please, of Carson Wentz being asked about practice in Philadelphia? Take a listen.
Are my practices perfect? No. I mean, that's why it's practice. But as far as sloppy practice habits and those things, for one, I mean, you guys are out there every day, and then you guys are asked to leave. So the media is not even out there. So I don't know where that's coming from. But it is what it is. You know, I know I'm not perfect. I know that's why it's practice, and I got to be better all the time. But I'm always out there working, and I know everybody else is. So I haven't seen any of that from myself or really from anybody. We're out there busting our tails every day. And do mistakes happen? Absolutely. But is that something that I've seen or that I'm worried about from myself or anybody else? No, I'm not.
Okay, look, you're in Philadelphia at a press conference, and a reporter asked you about practice. The lack of situational awareness in seeing openings there, the fact that you didn't take it, is really concerning, and I'm not joking. That just shows that everything is not working as fast as it should. I'm not saying you need to be, you know, Jerry Seinfeld up there, but you need to say, practice, I got something for this. Dusty, I think it's a real concern. I am not joking. It's more concerning than the interceptions.
Oh, wild between that and the conductor. You win. You won Thursday. You just won the whole day. It's Thursday, right? On to Tampa now, where the Bucs are getting ready for a Monday Night Football showdown with the Rams. Bruce Arians said the Bucs are a really tired team. Tampa's got 12 games in a row before the Week 13 bye. Brandon, Bruce Arians calling the Bucs a really tired team is blank.
It's legit. I think every team is tired right now. Let me give you a glimpse into a day of a football player. Some guys wake up at 6. Some guys may wake up at 6:30. But those first few steps out of bed are the most painful. Your feet hurt, your toes hurt, your ankles hurt. So much pressure on every single joint in your body. You get in your car, you go to the facility. Once you get to the facility, you may have some breakfast. Give me some egg whites, maybe a waffle, but you try to stay on the healthy side. From there, you go in the steam room, sauna, maybe jump in a hot tub, cold tub, just to wake up the body. And then you go into meetings, and then after the meetings, you go into the athletic training room. And then you go to the trainer, you say, hey, Dusty, hey, give me some tape to put together my ankle. And then, hit my right wrist. And then, can we do something with my hip? And I have some pain in my neck. Everybody is tired right now in the National Football League. Yeah. Guys are beat up. Yeah. So this is legit.
Yeah, everybody is tired. So are the 1,600, let me do the math, and 46 players that don't play for the Tampa Bay Bucs. So, yeah, that's everybody. So my answer to this is the Bruce Arians calling the Bucs a really tired team is so very, very sad. The poor Bucs, they along with the Bears and the Bills and the Niners and a handful and the Panthers haven't yet had their bye. Those mean NFL schedule makers made them wait all the way until after Thanksgiving for their bye. Now, luckily for the Bucs, that will make them more rested than the other teams down the stretch of the playoffs because they will have had the latest bye. And luckily for everyone with the Bucs, they will be extra rested going into next season because they will have a very short postseason. So those things will work for them. But right now, it's very, very sad that the Tampa Bay Bucs have this terrible, awful, no good schedule from the mean NFL schedule makers.
Okay, hey, you know what? Don't be a part of the problem. Be a part of the solution. Not only is Tom Brady leading the offense, he also, cuts down on penalties. Guess what else he can do? Boom! Take care of your recovery with the old TB12 method. He wrote a whole book on it. Page 278. Here's some helpful tips. Tips, time your exercise right. Pay attention to your sleep environment. Temperature matters. So does cleanliness. Keep the noise down. Don't skimp on your mattress or your bedding. Functional apparel and sleepwear. Check this one out.
You have the
book. A few years
ago
at TB12, we began to look into the role of bioenergetic apparel and sleepwear, like special pajamas that have been hit with, what the heck? Give off infrared rays
to
stimulate heat, muscles, bones, and tendons. Of course. Do I have it? And my whole
Kevin
family has it. We have four copies.
What are you doing with the book?
Children's version.
Kevin
you
also got the magical. Subscribes to the TB12 method.
We read it every day.
He also has the magical recipes. Concussion water before the FDA made him pull it off the shelves. That's a collector's item.
Survival.
Free Tom Brady.
Let's get ready for tonight's big showdown between two of the hottest quarterbacks in the league. You got your Kyler. You got your Russ. You got a game with a lot on the line, and we're going to preview said game next. First things first. What page was that on?
That game to be previewed?
Saturday on Fox, it is a battle of Big 12 title contenders. K-State taking on Iowa State 4 Eastern. And then you got Arizona and Washington clashing in Pac-12 action. That's at 8 Eastern. Football Saturday beginning at 4 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. All right, back here. First things first, we're talking the New Orleans Saints. Drew Brees' second opinion on his injured ribs confirmed he'll miss at least the next 2 to 3 weeks, possibly even more. So the Saints have a decision to make. Their Week 11 starter could be Jameis Winston, who has started 70 games at quarterback. Could be Taysom Hill, who has started 0 games at quarterback. Here's more from Sean Payton.
Could be Otto the Orange.
Sean, can you share any updates on your plans at the quarterback position this week?
No updates, Mike. I'm eating my bagel. I was hoping to be chewing it when you asked that question.
No update on Drew's injury status either, specifically?
Nope. Nothing specific, yeah. Nothing there.
What kind of bagel? Is it everything bagel, or is it like sesame seed?
It's a poppy seed steamed bagel, which are hard to find, actually.
The poppy seed bagel. There's a great Seinfeld line, which I'm not going to go to right now because I will get hammered by my colleague Nick Wright. So instead, we will focus on this. Jameis or Taysom Hill? Sean Payton has a decision to make. It's a conundrum. He has not made a decision yet. Coach, I will ask you, who do you start? Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston this weekend?
Well, first of all, I'm very impressed with the media in New Orleans. The fact that you can give no answer on your starting quarterback, no answer on your injured quarterback, and the follow-up question is on the bagel you're eating. That's pretty good. That's very similar to what I experienced in New York. That was very much like the New York media. But I'd say the it's pretty clear that they're going to start Jameis Winston. And this is, though, a positive and unique opportunity because they obviously love Taysom Hill and they want to get him more involved. And the fact that he's taken plays at quarterback when Drew Brees was there, now with Jameis, you can increase the size of that package and really experiment with him probably as much as they've wanted to over the course of time and learn more about him. And it's the same thing with Jameis. He's been there now for 9 weeks. He knows the system. He knows the players. This is a great check-in to see where he is. But, you know, Taysom Hill's thrown 18 passes, and Jameis Winston has thrown, I don't even know what his number, but he threw 18 passes in like the first 5 minutes of most Tampa games. So there's a pretty broad distinction between those two guys. So I would imagine it's going to be Jameis and with packages, extensive packages for Taysom.
Yeah. Hey, I'll be shocked if Taysom is the starter. For me, it starts with Jameis Winston, and it ends there. Like, this is why you brought this kid in. And you brought this kid in almost as a project, knowing that he has everything he needs to be really good and effective in the National Football League, outside of one thing, decision-making. And who else is better at showing you the way besides, well, there's two guys, Sean Payton, Coach Payton, and Drew Brees. Drew Brees in practice, man, when you talk about a machine, when you talk about understand working your process and working your football, like, there's no one better. We see this all the time. Drew Brees throw it to his first guy, and then he'll go through his progression as if he still has the ball in his hand. Okay, cover one here. I'm going to the flat right away. Bam. And then he goes to two, and then he goes to three. Oh, three's not there, and he goes to the check down. That's Drew Brees continuing to develop up here, his mindset, his mentality. And Jameis sat back and watched that. And that's where we're going to see this guy separate himself from where he was last year to where he's at today by being in that type of environment every single day. Because that's all it is for Jameis. Jameis, make the right decision. Sean Payton's football is real good. It's super simple. It's not that complex. What's complex? complex is what they throw at you. They have different motions and different packages. Right. But at the end of the day, we're talking about simple stuff. Cover one, go here. You don't have to think anymore. Just do your job. And Coach Payton has this way about himself that everyone in the building and coach, including the media, just respects him. Like, he has a way to talking to people and moving people in the right direction. So if Jameis gets out of line, and if he's done this in the last couple of months, Coach Payton is that type of guy. Say, no, this is why I brought you here. And if you don't get the job done the way I'm asking you to get it done, you'll be out of here.
Yeah. And guess what? If Jameis were to have to leave, or if he were to get hurt, you know what the Saints would do? Sign a quarterback. Because they don't have another one on the roster. This conversation is maddening. Drew Brees missed 5 weeks last year. They let Taysom Hill throw one pass. Who's going to be the starter? Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill, or Zion Williamson? He's got time before the season starts in New Orleans. The hell are we talking about? When Cam Newton went down or got COVID in New England, there wasn't this topic. Is it going to be Hoyer, Stidham, or Jacoby Myers? Because he also played quarterback a decade ago. So why isn't he being discussed? This is here is a ironclad prediction. If they let Taysom Hill throw 10 passes, he'll throw a pick. We have no evidence whatsoever that this guy can play quarterback, if we're being honest, at any level. At BYU, his last year when he finally got to be a full-time starter, he had the sparkling resume of 12 touchdowns, 11 picks. I don't understand how Taysom Hill quarterback, I know they love him. I love my daughter. I don't let her drive my car. Like, what are we talking about, Wilds? Of course it's Jameis. It's why they signed Jameis, and I actually think they've got a really good backup in Jameis.
Yeah, it's obviously Jameis. He started the second half. We know it's going to be Jameis. He threw for 5,100 yards. There's two big narratives out here, Coach, and they are really like, look, has he progressed? Has he evolved and not be the turnover machine that he was? And the other one is like, hey, have all these unconventional things that he's been doing in the offseason help? And most people think it's just the LASIK surgery, but he has a tremendous amount of other training techniques that I don't want the LASIK surgery to be overshadowed. These are not in my favorite order. These are just things that happen. First one, pushing SUVs. Does that help you win games? Not 100% sure. Can't hurt. How about this? Dodging a huge thing like it's American Gladiators looking around. So if you ever see a giant medicine ball on the field, Jameis Winston will be prepared for it. The third one, hey, I don't know, Kyler Murray's talking about playing baseball. I also played baseball at Florida State. Maybe this will help me. Bingo, hello, baseball season's still right around the corner. Boom, maybe this will help me get the ball out faster. And then, of course, mobility, who can go wrong with mobility? Dak Prescott can't get all the highlights from just shaking his hips. I can do it, too, also on my heels. And then maybe it all leads, and this is, I'm really torn about this, but then if he starts winning, it's kind of a win for the Saints and a loss for us that he brings back this eating a W thing, which no one really knows what to do. I mean, you win, but then you have to do this eating a W, which I thought we left in Tampa Bay. We didn't. It's still alive. So I personally am interested. We know he's going to throw the ball around the field against the Falcons. My favorite, pushing the car. So if the Falcons want to throw a car at him, nice try. Push it right out of the way, Nick.
Go ahead,
Coach. Oh, my goodness.
I guess, Coach, my question to you would be, go ahead, Coach.
I don't know where to go with those training techniques. They are a bit unconventional. I like the eating the W's. I'll do that a little bit with my kids when I win the occasional game of spike ball against them. The pushing the SUV, I like that too. I might incorporate that into the workout I have for the boys. The giant, I don't even know what that is. But look, I'm for all of
that's
it.
That's a concussion. That's what that is, Coach. That's a concussion. That's what that is. You know how heavy that thing is? That's 80 pounds. It's 80 pounds. If he gets hit in the head,
well, that's why he has to dodge
over.
It, Brandon. That's why he's got to dodge it. I mean, he's not standing there letting it hit him. What are you talking about? Jenna, what are you trying to ask? Go ahead. I'm sorry,
but
Jenna. Go ahead.
Is is Jameis good enough to be Breeze's backup, or is he good enough to be a quarterback? We didn't know who Teddy Bridgewater was going to be after his injury. Breeze goes down last season. Bridgewater comes in. It was an audition for him. Went and played himself into a starting role this year. Could that be Jameis Winston? Is he good enough to be able to 100%. Be that guy where he can go find himself Coach, either there in New Orleans or somewhere else a starting job?
Coach, I see you shaking your head. If Jameis plays well here, he's either the Saints starting quarterback or someone starting quarterback next year, right?
Well, in all seriousness, I appreciate the work that Jameis is doing, and as those training techniques may look untraditional, but I respect him trying to develop his craft. And what I really respect is what he said when he went to New Orleans. He said he wanted to go get his master's in football. And this is a great opportunity for the organization and for Jameis to see what his grade is at the midterm. And you can see now that he's had a chance to learn the system, work with the players, be with Drew Brees, and work on that master's. Where is his progression? He's got a ton of ability. He's played a lot of exciting football. And the question does come down to what Brandon outlined, which is decision-making. And you'd like to think that with the time that he's spent and the commitment that he's made and with this new opportunity, hopefully we'll see a change in that decision making. But I'm cheering for him because I respect anybody that's willing to recognize their weakness and go work on them and take a situation that's best for their chance to move forward.
Coach, I've seen a lot of things in the locker room. I've seen a lot of things on the field, just like you. But we talk about decision making, man. It makes you wonder if he's gotten it, because those videos that Wiles just showed us, I've never seen anything like that. Guys training like that. Oh, but look, I'm just kidding. I like Jameis Winston. Jameis and I and our families, we spend a lot of time every single year at a marriage retreat. And Jameis is one of those guys that will just cling to you if you have the answers. If he thinks you has the answers, he's going to sit down with you and say, hey, can I get on your schedule? And he's going to have probably 20, 30 questions prepared. That's who he is. So when it comes down to this decision making outside of his training on the field, Drew Brees, Sean Payton, if he's taking advantage of this time, which I believe he has because I know Jameis, he will be fine. And Nick, 100%, he'll be a starter next year in New Orleans, because I don't see Drew Brees. Like, is he really going to come back? Or somewhere else if Drew comes back, right? This kid is more than capable of being a starter. He's a Pro Bowler. He's done some amazing things. He just has to clean up the turnovers.
You just have to see if Sean Payton picks him as the starter to fill in for Drew Brees. I got a question for you. Yeah. Who's the better bet to win the Super Bowl this year, Chiefs or Steelers? We'll tell you why that's a harder question than you might think. Next, first things first.
Brandon, he learned those training methods at House of Athletes.
Time to run the fast break with Chris Broussard. Let's go, Broussard. The Sixers reportedly traded Al Horford and two picks to the Thunder last night for Danny Green. Then during the second round last night, Philly made a trade with Dallas for Seth Curry. Got some shooters. Steph Curry tweeted, Sixers, y'all got a good one. I bet you he said it because it was his brother. That's probably why he did it. Hey, Broussard, Daryl Morey, active already. What do these moves do for the future of the 76ers?
Morey props. He has come in there and worked some miracles right away. I mean, most people didn't think you could get rid of Al Horford's contract. He did that. And then he brings in a 3-and-D guy with championship pedigree in Danny Green and one of the best shooters, arguably the best shooter in the NBA in Seth Curry. When you put those two around Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid, that is a starting five that should be elite on both ends of the floor, offensively and defensively. What it's going to come down to now in Philadelphia is culture and maturity. And that's what you bring Doc Rivers in for and Daryl Morey. Can they create a championship professional culture in that organization that gets them close to a championship? And then their two stars, Simmons and Embiid, have got to mature. As much as we talk about the problems with their games matching each other, what a lot of people out there in Philly will tell you is that it's really about them each wanting to be the man. They really are concerned about Am I the man or is he the man? What is he doing? What am I doing? Is he getting more credit than I'm getting? Doc Rivers has to sit them down and explain to them, it doesn't matter. If we win at a high level, you both will get major praise, especially with one being a perimeter guy and one being a big man. Because on paper, they're as nice as Brooklyn, as anybody except maybe Brooklyn in the East.
And let me add to that. If people worry about the Simmons and Embiid fit, look at the on-court numbers, those two on the court together, plus J.J. Redick, the 2 years he was there.
That's right.
They were better than 18, plus 18 points per 100 possessions. Seth is a better shooter than J.J. Redick. Statistically, yes. I'm not saying this is the take, but statistically, he's the best shooter in the history of basketball. This is why Daryl's great. Daryl understands how to build out the other pieces of the team. I know for a fact the Rockets looked at Seth Curry a year ago, but because of their switch everything defense, he wasn't a fit on that end. But when you have Joel Embiid manning the paint and Ben Simmons as an all-league defender on the perimeter, you can handle a minus defender in Seth Curry. So that's a great move for them. Getting off the Horford contract is magic. And I'm telling you right now, America, I'm not saying this is my pick, but I am saying I might have this morning placed a small financial investment on a Lakers-Sixers NBA Finals, which right now pays out at 40-1. So, you know, $250 to win, I call it $10,000, Lakers-Sixers. Just putting it out there, Brandon. It's just available to you, America.
Yeah.
And you should maybe consider it.
Look, Nick, I'm a huge J.J. Redick fan. He actually married one of my college friends. Look, when the Sixers lost him, they needed shooters. They haven't been able to find any shooters. Last night, they got two. Doc Rivers goes and gets his son-in-law, Seth Curry. They get Danny Green. They have two. I really like this for the Sixers. Now, Danny Green, his lone year in Toronto when they won the championship, he was shooting the three ball at 46%. Last year, he dropped down to 37. Danny Green, get back on track. Please don't continue to trend in this direction because you have a great opportunity ahead of you. You could potentially win three in a row. Woo! Wows, I like this for the Sixers.
All right, moving on to the Golden State Warriors now. And some bad news reported yesterday with Klay Thompson suffering a lower leg injury in training. It's believed to be an Achilles injury. We don't know yet. Crushing blow after he sat out all of last year with an ACL. Nick, how devastating could this be for Klay and the Warriors' title chances?
Well, for Klay, I'm wrecked. He is one of the most well-liked, one of the best people in the league. Never causes no problems. He could have really caused a ruckus when they bring in Durant. Instead, he continued to do his job brilliantly and was an Iron Man in this league until that NBA Finals dunk where he tears his ACL and now he suffers another potentially major injury. So for him personally, this is as bad as it gets. For the Warriors, it's even worse. I thought the Warriors were way overvalued with a healthy Klay Thompson. Without a healthy Klay Thompson, Broussard, they are going to be a fringe playoff team. Like, Draymond is not the guy he was 5 years ago, and your favorite player in the league, Andrew Wiggins, is going to ask to be the second option on that team. So this is disastrous for Golden State. And I feel sick for Klay.
Well, you handled the personal stuff. I mean, obviously, we all feel terrible for Klay Thompson. Also, this is the best NBA backcourt in history. The best backcourt in NBA history, and we may not get to see them for a second straight year. Nick, you surprised me because I'm with you. Obviously, they have absolutely no chance at winning the championship. I thought I might be alone in saying they might not make the playoffs out west. Because the problem is that your second best player, Draymond Green, doesn't score. So now you are looking to Andrew Wiggins to be the second scorer on a very good team. And I don't know that he can do that. I loved him. And you're right. You teased me about liking Andrew Wiggins. I love him as a fourth guy. And that's what he was when Klay is there. The fourth guy, the third option scorer. He'd be great in that role. But now as a second guy, no. They need James Wiseman to mature immediately and be ready to be productive right away. And they need Wiggins to step up and be a very good 22-point scorer as the second guy for them to even just make the playoffs.
Yeah, I still think they make the playoffs. I don't know if you believe in the Suns, or I know you don't believe in the Blazers. You spent the entire, you know, summer making fun of me, Broussard, so I know you don't believe in the Blazers. But I still think they make the playoffs. I think Steph is going to come back and have a resurgent year. And just glass half full, and I really feel for Klay. If there was a guy, and the defense would really suffer, obviously, but if there was a guy who was built to be like the purest spot-up shooter since Ray Allen, it's probably Klay. We've seen him explode for monster games where he has more points and three-point attempts than he does dribbles. So, Brandon, I'm trying to be as optimistic as possible. I think that he would still be very effectively, play very effectively, even if he's limited by an Achilles, if that turns out to be what it is, which I hope it isn't.
Let's hope that it's not that bad, but this is devastating if he has an Achilles injury and he's out for the year. This is devastating for Klay, obviously, coming off of another injury and ready to get back out there. It's devastating for Steph Curry, Draymond Green, coach, and every guy in that locker room, everybody in that organization. They were excited to get back out there. And for this to happen before they even take the court together is brutal. And it's also devastating for the NBA. This is going to be one of the most exciting years in the NBA in the last 10 years. You look at what's happening in the West and then the East, the Nets. There's a lot of excitement there. The 76ers, the moves they're making. You have the Bucks. Oh, man. So it's devastating for everybody. Hopefully, you know, things are not that bad. And we see Klay out there and we see the Golden State Warriors competing at a high level this year, Jenna.
All right, let's do a little draft debrief. Anthony Edwards went first overall to Minnesota last night, followed by big man James Wiseman to the Warriors. And then LaMelo Ball was selected third by Michael Jordan's Charlotte Hornets. Nick, what was your biggest takeaway from last night's draft?
Well, listen, there was a somewhat pretty obvious concerted media campaign against Anthony Edwards because a lot of agents didn't like the clutch workout and the way they kind of stole center stage. So I'm glad it didn't hurt his draft stock. I'm happy for Anthony Edwards. My other biggest takeaway is about the second and third pick. I was worried for the Warriors that because of the Klay news, they would make a rash decision. Instead, they did the smart thing and the right thing and took the best player on their board in Wiseman. And LaMelo, I don't know that Charlotte's going to win a lot of games. In fact, I don't think they will. But I would be shocked if LaMelo does not win Offensive Rookie of the Year. They're going to let him shoot as much as he wants in Charlotte. I think he's Brandon. He's statistically, I don't know that he'll be the best rookie actually, but statistically he's going to be the best rookie and he should be the huge favorite to win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, call me crazy. Oh, Brandon doesn't know basketball. He played football for 13 years. Call me crazy all you want. The biggest mistake, how do you not draft LaMelo Ball first overall because of his offense, because of what he does? Modern NBA, today's game, you need scoring. And this dude could potentially go down as one of the greatest scorers we've seen. 6'7" point guard. He passes like magic. Yes, he has some, you know, some decision mistakes. He got to clean those up. But with coaching, isn't that your job? So I think the thing that stood out to me the most was them passing up LaMelo. I get it. The safest way, they went. But safe gets you beat.
I got to change my whole take now after hearing that. I'm calling you crazy, Brandon Marshall. The Minnesota Timberwolves got it right. All right, Anthony Edwards feels a need. Once this guy gets a three-point shot, and I think he will because he was a good mid-range shooter, he was a good foul shooter in college, he gets the mid-range shot, he'll be a nice fit with D'Angelo Russell and Karl-Anthony Towns. And you said LaMelo passes like Magic. The last guy to compare a ball brother to Magic Johnson was Magic Johnson at the press conference, and he was terribly wrong. So look, I like LaMelo. I would like nothing more than for him to be a star, because I love to see the GOAT have an actual star in Charlotte with him. I think if Melo, a lot of questions about Melo's competitiveness and maturity. If he has a competitive bone in his body, Michael Jordan will bring it out, because Jordan will challenge him. And Jordan will talk to him verbally and challenge him to see what he's made of. And if he's made of the right stuff, he'll bring it out and he'll play well up to his potential in Charlotte, which I definitely hope happens.
You know, Jenna, this is a sort of a broad strokes, 20,000 feet thing, but I was surprised by the path that the top three picks took. Anthony Edwards played 32 games. Wiseman played 2 games. LaMelo played no games in college. So we saw sort of 3 different paths there. I wonder, especially with this new G League team coming up, if we're going to see a more variety of ways guys get into the league, and that LaMelo playing against, you know, grown men and professionally overseas turns out to be an approach that more guys end up taking.
Melo. All right, really good stuff, guys. Broussard. Thank you so much. We got to take a turn back to
Brandon
football.
Marshall
Kyler
is crazy.
And Russ. Russ and Kyler. Both so fun to watch. Both on display tonight. Who needs to win more? Can't say both. Back after this. Now for stories to start your morning, sponsored by Ram Trucks, built to serve. Big Thursday night football game. Cardinals Seahawks. Seattle looked like they might run away with the division. They started off 5-0, but here we are 4 weeks later. Seahawks have lost 3 of 4. Cardinals have won 3 of 4. And now Arizona, Seattle, and Los Angeles, they're all bunched up in a logjam at 6-3 out west. So, Nick, who wins tonight, Cardinals or Seahawks?
I've got Seattle, but I must admit, I don't feel great about it. I've never seen Russell Wilson lose 3 games in a row. It's not because I haven't been watching. It's because he's never done it. I've never seen Russell Wilson lose 4 out of 5, and it's because he's never done it. And so my gut says in their biggest game of the season, and one could argue, I would argue, the biggest matchup the NFL has had in the 2020 season to date, Russell Wilson, who I still believe to be the second best player in the entire league, will get it together and carry his team to a victory. But there are some seriously concerning signs, Brandon. And if I'm wrong, if the Cardinals win tonight, I do not think you can consider the Seahawks contenders for anything anymore. If the Cardinals win tonight, Seattle will still be a playoff team, but they won't host a single home playoff game. They will have the toughest road possible to the playoffs. And it will mean either the defense reverts back to what it had been every week aside from last week, or Russ just can't stop turning the ball over. Either would be an incredibly ominous sign for their championship hopes. So I like Seattle tonight in a close one, but if I'm wrong, it is bad, bad news for your beloved Seahawks, Brandon.
Yeah, I agree with you, Nick. And it's uncomfortable because we went the entire day agreeing with each other. And that's uncomfortable for me, bud.
You've had good
takes. But when
takes
you really
today.
Look at this, the
You've
safe
had good takes.
This,
what can
yeah,
I say?
The safe bet is probably Arizona. good takes today, right? But when you look at it, and it's a gut thing right now with the Seattle Seahawks, when you look at Russell Wilson, he's just too good of a football player. He's too good of a leader. I was in that organization. That's a championship organization. I can't see them losing this game because they need this win more than the Arizona Cardinals. They got to clean up things on the offensive side. Russell Wilson is getting hit way too much. So that's number one. Before he can even cook, ball, whatever you want to call it, he needs to be standing upright. He can't be running around with, you know, as soon as he get in his drop back. And then second, Russell has to protect the ball. We're all talking about that. Defensively, they held the Rams to 23 points, Wilds. So they actually, I think they're trending in the right direction. And you were the first to talk about the Seattle Seahawks and how let's slow down with them being contenders because this defense isn't so good. But
that's
I think
right.
They're trending in the right direction with what they're changing up on the defensive line and also the back end, how they're blitzing.
Yeah, so it's always a bad sign when you give up 23 points and there's a reason to have a parade in Seattle because that's your best defensive effort. And look, I rarely do this. I rarely use my my future-telling powers on sports. It's considered a little distasteful among the future-telling community to just bet on sports. It's kind of very Biff Tannen-y Back to the Future too. But I'm going to make an exception today.
Nice.
Future things first. Here are the headlines for tomorrow that I had printed up digitally for your enjoyment. There's what's going to happen tomorrow when we show up on the show.
Baker
cooks Russ. Buda Baker gets got denied a pick six from the Play of the Year by DK Metcalf. Doesn't happen because Kyler Murray's throwing the ball all over the place. Russ looks like, oh, geez, I got to put up 50 points. He starts throwing the ball. Baker gets one, runs it to the house, pick six. Problem is, Russ doesn't just throw one interception, guys. He throws two interceptions, tying him with Carson Wentz. The back page of Future Things First. 12 interceptions lead the league. And again, Nick, you have the little sub-headline there. It stings your committee. And I know they don't meet until Monday night, until after the Monday night game. But if we want to look at your tiers here, I think there's going to probably be some movement. I didn't use my future powers all the way out till Tuesday. It's kind of a smaller window. I'm not that advanced in my Harry Potterness. But there you go, Nick. I don't know how you think the committee is going to view a Cardinals win tomorrow.
A Cardinals win, I don't think it'd be enough to elevate them to number one contender, but they would stay where they are. And, Brandon, if the Seahawks lose this game and they would have then lost four out of five, I think you'd have to move them down. We'd have to rename the tiers to pretenders. You don't lose four out of five games in a season, especially when, by the way, when you were winning, those wins weren't exactly pretty. It was in the final seconds against Minnesota, the final yard against New England, the final minute against Dallas. And so I think a Seattle loss tonight, you would start to say, wait, not only are they not the best team in the NFC, not best team in the NFC West, Jen, I think you might say they're not even the second best team in the NFC West, because the Rams and Cardinals would have beaten them would have been 3-0 against them this year, and that's their divisional competition.
Yeah, Jenna, I kind of agree with them again. It's uncomfortable to agree with this guy. What?
See? You're getting smarter.
All right, well, let's dive a little
smarter
deeper.
By the day.
Russ's MVP chatter has turned Kyler's way the last couple of weeks for all the reasons Nick just laid out, especially after last week's Hail Mary heroics. Kyler was asked about his MVP bid. Take a listen.
Those guys, that they were mentioning, Tom, Aaron, Patrick, they've won Super Bowls, they've won MVPs. I haven't done anything, so. As far as MVP deal, I'm not even really worried about that. I was as far as my personal confidence, do I believe that I'm one of the best in the league? Yeah, of course. I mean, I think anybody should be confident in themselves. So that's what I meant by that. As far as the MVP deal, I don't really, I just try to go out and lead my team to a win. I said it, the individual goals come as if you win. So.
All right, Nick, I'll start with you. Who needs a win tonight more for their MVP campaign, Kyler or Russ?
I think it's an elimination game for both of them. I don't think either can win the MVP without winning the division. I think the winner tonight wins the division. I also think the fact that Kyler's in this discussion is a good example of how these narratives aren't always fair. And if the Cardinals had done what they should have done in the fourth quarter last week, I don't think there's a lot of Kyler MVP buzz, meaning they're up three with the ball with 9 minutes left against the Bills, and Kyler throws a pick. They then get the ball back, and he goes 3-and-out. They then get the ball back, and he goes 3-and-out again. If any of those drives, he just gets a few first downs and they take knees, he doesn't then have the MVP moment of the Hail Mary. But, Brandon, I'll tell you who is rooting for Kyler tonight. Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, and Tua Tagovailoa. Because we're on a crazy streak. Carson Wentz, year two, almost won the MVP. Then year two, Patrick Mahomes did. Year two, Lamar Jackson did. And year two, Kyler Murray could. So it's like a become a young quarterback's award. So I'm sure those guys are watching with a little interested eye this evening, Brandon.
Yeah. I mean, both guys are still in it, right? So they both need this game. A couple weeks ago, Russell Wilson opened up the door, and then you saw everybody kind of run to it. Mm-hmm. And then last week, everybody ran through it. So Russell Wilson, there's a few things that you want to see by his name when you Google him, Wilds. You want to see Super Bowl champ. You want to see five-time All-Pro. You want to see Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. And you also want to see MVP. Russ, let's go. Cook, but don't cook too much.
Yeah, I think Russ needs it. Russ is trying to do like a Martin Scorsese needs an Academy Award type campaign. Like, look at me, I've been good for so long, I still haven't won. Where Patrick Mahomes is sort of like, I'm obviously the best, I'm the MVP. Don't give it to Barkley or Karl Malone. So I think that Russ really needs to show that he deserves it and not just keeps on campaigning like, hey, you guys have missed out on me for the last 5 years.
Ball security! Ball security.
Job security. Yours and mine.
Thursday Night Football tonight on Fox. Undisputed coming up right now. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.